J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
The reason I like Harry so much is because he'll never tell me the real story about why he was run out of St. Louis. And the rumors are so great. You must have heard some of them.
Oh, yeah.
He won't really cop to the whole thing, you know, and that's why he took up drinking beer, I think, is just to forget. Or to keep himself from... But you'd think he'd have a couple of drinks and say, well, you know what really happened, Bill? Gussie! Oh, never mind, I can't tell you. He's a great one to tease. He wore some really exciting clothing. And the last time I saw him, he had a coat on that would, I mean, really keep mosquitoes off the porch. I mean, really, he's really an outstanding dresser. And he shops by catalog, and it shows. He drinks Bud, you know. And I drink Old Style when I go to the ballpark. So, I don't know. He still drinks Budweiser, though, so he's loyal to St. Louis.
Yeah. Did you really do one whole interview in French? You speak fluent French?
I speak fluid French. I did a... This girl was so cute. I would have spoken in Czech if you really...
Part of her dress.
Yeah, that is part of her dress.
And we could see part of her dress was missing, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, she brought a lot to the day, I'll tell you. She was a high point in the day for me. And hopefully she's staying in this hotel. I'll be hanging out in the bar for the next several days, hoping she appears. But she was, I do speak French fairly well for somebody from Illinois. But Illinois is a French word, so, you know, Illinois. You know, so it's, and Wilmette, where I'm from, Monsieur Wilmette, he was a Frenchman who had two Indian wives and lived on the beach in Wilmette, so...
Kind of that's the name.
A role model.
Yeah. Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. You are at jconline.com. That was a great interview with Bill Murray, only part of it, for a movie that he did called Quick Change. And the reason I thought about this is because my daughter has become, she's 13, she's become obsessed with the movie Beetlejuice. And so we were talking about, she was asking about Gina Davis, and I told her that I had interviewed her once, and she's very tall, and she was unaware of the fact that she was an Olympian archer and became very, very interested when I told her about that. That's true. Gina Davis has Olympic-level skills in archery. That movie Quick Change was terrible, by the way, but I got a chance to interview her and Bill Murray and also the great Jason Robards. Oh, my God. You're going to talk about a movie star. Well, the movie was just awful. And that is true. There was a French gal... You know, they brought in the international media, and this woman was just, you know, walking the room, and the fish in the aquarium stopped swimming. I mean, she just was unbelievable. And Bill Murray did the entire interview with her in French. But yeah, that was an interesting relationship that Harry and Bill struck up back in the 80s and 90s. Bill being a diehard Chicago Cub fan, where at Wrigley Field, it was announced that they're going to be the first ballpark in the major leagues to sell CBD drinks. What could possibly go wrong? You might want to get some tickets in section 420, by the way. Good morning, everybody. Don't look now. The Cardinals are in last place in the Central Division. 7-4 the score last night in Colorado. They tried again tonight. Miles Michaelis is going to be on the mound. His ERA is 9.64. I think Bob Gibson's record is safe for now. The Blues get put out of their misery tomorrow night. Final home game of the year. Down in Tampa, the Rays have become the first Major League Baseball team to start the season 10-0. Since 1987. The bad part of it is there's like 150 people in the place. You call over for tickets and you go, what time does the game start? They say, what time can you get here? And researchers at Dartmouth College say climate change is responsible for 50 more home runs per major league season. That's because when the air heats up, the molecules move faster and away from each other, making the air less dense. That means less resistance, allowing the ball to go further. Supposedly, there's about a 1% increase in the likelihood of a home run with every degree the air warms. See, the air heats up, the molecules move faster and away from each other, making the air less dense. Now we can just make that work on the people in the 300 section. It can be the Wild West up there, huh? You ever sit up there? A lot of people get a couple of Bud Lights in and go, suck my tongue. How about this Dalai Lama thing? How weird is that? I'm just getting the idea that if we just follow everybody long enough, we will eventually find a scandal. You know, Bill Cosby, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Kevin Spacey, all these people we thought were just, you know, show business icons. Now the Dalai Lama suck my tongue to like a 9-year-old boy? And there were people on CNN last night defending him. Well, you know, the cultures are different. How come it hasn't, manifested itself up until now? You know, I don't remember the Dalai Lama going around sucking people's tongues for the last 50 years. It just happened all of a sudden. Suck my tongue, I'm so sure. Now, if you want to kiss your dog, like Tony La Russa.
You know, I get in these contests, I'm very competitive guy. Somebody says, you know, I love my dog more than you love yours. I say, oh, really? I said, I can prove that I love my dog more than you. Oh, no way, I love mine. I said, really? How much do you know? What do you do? He said, oh, yeah, I mean, I bathe him. You know, I love him. You know, I hug him. I said, I French kiss my dog. Can you do that? See, yeah, the same. Yeah, see, I get all shattered. But I brush his teeth first.
The poor dog sees Tony coming with the toothbrush and goes, oh, God, here we go again. I figure I better get my Tony La Russa jokes in now because I got this funny hunch he's not doing well. I looked up the disease that they say he has, and the prognosis generally is not good. And he was not there for opening day a couple of weeks ago, and I hate to say it, but I guess I'm saying it. Anyhow, today is National Pet Day. According to a recent poll, 58% of us have at least one pet at home. Dogs are still the most common. Cats are next. 70% of pet owners have at least one dog. 54% have a cat, so a lot of us have both. Fish are a distant third at around 3% of households. That's it. Birds, reptiles, rodents, and rabbits. There's about 85 million dogs in America and over 60 million cats. That's not even including strays. 40% of us are dog people. 20% identify as cat people. Just over 30% like both equally, and 8% don't like cats or dogs. We don't trust people as much if they don't like pets. Over a third of Americans say it makes someone seem less trustworthy. 91% of pet owners say their pet is part of the family. 83% of Americans think pets are capable of love. 6%, more than half of pet owners, let their pets sleep with them. Most cat and dog owners have talked to their pet at length before. And it's one thing to say, good boy, or who's a good boy? But you're sitting there looking at your dog going, now the situation in Ukraine is bound to get more complicated as the spring advances because the Russians have been planning an offensive for a long. I mean, if you're doing that, you might want to go talk to somebody. 58% of us think walking a cat on a leash is fine. Might want to talk to the cat about that first, as long as you're talking to your pets anyhow. 56% of pet owners have bought their pet a birthday or Christmas present. And 48% of Americans think pets can go to heaven. Yeah, well, my neighbor's chihuahua can go to hell. It's always those little yippers. You know, those little yippers. The lady across the street has a Saint Bernard. The dog gives nobody any trouble at all except her because, you know, basically she's taking the dog out and the dog was, what would she say, 77 pounds at 6 weeks or something. Dog's going to grow to be the size of a Prius. You see a big lab or a labradoodle or a standard poodle or, you know, any of the bigger dogs, they're not the ones causing the problems. It's those little fucking yerpers. God, I hate those things. When I was a little boy, and I'm talking like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, lady next door had a chihuahua and that dog hated me and it just barked ferociously at me all the time. Now, I don't go into Walmart unless I have exhausted all of my other possibilities. I will go everywhere. I'll drive for 45 minutes to go to a different store to try to not have to resort to going into a Walmart. But I found myself in a Walmart the other day. I ended up there because I had gone every place for this, believe it or not, this lotion that appeared appears to have been discontinued. I used to get it at Ulta, and there's that big Ulta store down at Graboy Bluffs. I used to go in there all the time, and I would go in there and buy the stuff. It's called Sea Booth lotion that's like a vanilla butter or something like that. And in addition to smelling just great, it's great after you've been in the sun as a moisturizer, so your tan doesn't peel off your head. So I use that stuff, and I don't know anything about lotions or stuff like that. So when I find something and it works, that's it. I'm a lifer. I started using Irish Spring soap when I was in high school, and until about 2 years ago when my dermatologist said that it's no good for you, I'd been using Irish Spring. When I was 16 and got my driver's license in Chicago, I got Allstate Insurance. I got Allstate Insurance now. I've never had a different insurance company. Same thing with a bank. When I got to St. Louis, right there on Watson Road, right down the street from the radio station, I went in at that time, I believe it was Centerre Bank. Yeah, Centerre. And then it became Boatman's, and eventually what they are now, the Evildoers Bank of America, although I'm weaning myself off that financial institution over to a credit union. I'm in the process of doing all that. Also, a moving target is more difficult to hit. And my ex-wife, who remember when we went to Houston for a while, about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago? We went to Houston and bought a house down there. And the week that we were closing on the house, we were closing on the house on a Thursday. And on Monday, my ex-wife froze my bank account. We were divorced for like 20 years. 20 years! Still won't leave me alone. And she was the one that divorced me. It's not like I was boinking Mrs. Johnson in the secretarial pool and that caused the divorce. I don't understand that. When somebody screws you over and then continues to try to screw you over, I don't get that. But I have to prepare for it anyhow, so I keep switching banks. So generally speaking, the people in Florida are, you know, they're friendly. Okay, there's a lot of people from out east, and the people from the out east areas and the states like, you know, Pennsylvania and New York and New Jersey, they're just not as friendly as people from the Midwest. So just in general, it's not, you just won't find places in other parts of the world that are as friendly as people in the Midwest. So I expect that. But I don't expect to walk into an Ulta and be ignored. You know, every woman who walked into Ulta the other day was greeted by a sales associate who said, "Hello, and what can I help you with today?" I walk in, and they all just sort of gave me this look like, "What do you want?" And I was the only guy in the place, and I wasn't dressed up or anything. I'd just been to the hardware store, which was right across the parking lot from the Ulta. So, okay, I didn't look like George Clooney walking in with an Armani suit. If you actually take a look around Ulta, it looks like everybody got all dressed up so they look like they just came from Ulta, but they're going to Ulta. They figure like they got to dress up and look the part. That shouldn't matter if you're a salesperson, if you're in some sort of sales or service industry. I walked around that store for 10 minutes. Nobody said a word to me. So I finally walked out. They didn't have it anyhow. So I wanted to go to Target. I went to a couple of other different places, and I was looking online for it, and it looked like it was discontinued, but Walmart said that they carry it. Of course, you're going to Walmart. They don't have it. This is no damn good. I'm reaching the point where if I don't smear something into my face, it's going to get real ugly really, really fast. I was talking about this with John Hewlett the last time I was in town. We both have big circles under our eyes. And I know they have stuff that you can rub into your eye sockets or something, and it's supposed to make those circles go away, but I haven't found it yet. And I should also say that I try to avoid Home Depot because that guy is just a big, big Trump guy, and I just don't feel any compulsion to give them my business. Lowe's isn't much better, and in both cases, both places, try to find somebody to help you, and even better than that, try to find somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. I've come to the conclusion that the people they're hiring for Lowe's are just so there's somebody in the store with a orange vest on. That doesn't mean they know anything, but at least you have people walking around who work for the place, because every time I've been in there, like the last four times I've been in there, you walk in and you go, "Can you tell me? I went in there looking for a broom, a fucking broom." This guy has no idea where the broom is. How can you be running a hardware store, be an employee, and not know where the brooms are? He had to look it up. And then invariably they tell you, oh, it's a section 120, row 8. And you go, there's no fucking brooms. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. This whole thing is starting to feel like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's really what that whole show is anyhow. It's all the stuff that we just think but don't do anything about. Larry David's character, you know, has no filter. So if he thinks something, he starts saying it. Speaking of Walmart, they got a little problem on the rack up there in Canada at the Walmart after somebody realized there is a hidden swear word on a t-shirt that's hanging on the racks there. Earth Day is coming up April 22nd, so they've been selling a shirt that says recycle, reuse, renew, rethink. The problem is that the first two letters, R and E, are in one font, and the words cycle, use, new, and think are aligned vertically in a different font. So if you look at the first letter of each of those four words, it spells the C word.
My cunt here. Has anybody seen my cunt?
So somebody figured it out, and the shirts are being pulled from all Walmart stores across Canada. They apparently weren't available in the United States. They're made by a brand called George that's owned by Walmart, so it wasn't a random seller they partner with. They made the shirt, but claim it wasn't intentional. Anybody who still wants one can get it on Amazon. I checked. They had it in 10 different colors in men's, women's, and youth sizes. Yeah, yeah. Send your preschooler to go to class with a t-shirt that spells the C word on the front. Give that kid a special test. Well, I gotta say I was wrong about something. For a lot of years, Don Lemon was on CNN, and I thought he was doing a pretty good job. I enjoyed it. I enjoy Anderson Cooper. I enjoyed Chris Cuomo when he was on. So then the new producer who used to run Colbert's show became the president of CNN. And I think he's wrong about this, but he thinks that the whole thing starts with the morning show. So they pulled Don Lemon off of his nighttime show, stuck him in the morning show. And now there's rumors going around that the new president, like I said, who used to work for Colbert, that he's on the hot seat. But you know, for a long time, I watched Don Lemon and I basically enjoyed him. Well, and what we were just saying, you know, if you follow anybody long enough, you're going to find a scandal. And just in recent months, Don Lemon is doing all these dumb things and just saying all this stupid stuff. You know, making comments about women in their 40s and 50s who are no longer in their prime. Even if you were thinking that, you shouldn't say it out loud. And there have been a couple of other things. There's stories that Don Lemon has really sort of been sort of snotty to his co-hosts. And now that I've seen that story, I find myself watching when he's on and the female co-hosts like Poppy Harlow, they don't look comfortable. And I like Jon Stewart. I think most people do like Jon Stewart, which brings up a whole curious situation anyhow. So here's what happened. One of the things you're taught in broadcasting school or college or wherever you pick this shit up is always assume that the microphone is on. No, but I turned it off. The off switch is right. Yeah, it's amazing the sort of weird electronic things that go on. Look at all the people who have lost jobs because a microphone was on when they thought it was off. Tom Brenneman in Cincinnati. He was probably the most recent example, but you know, you Google it, you can find all of these people who lost their jobs because they thought the microphone was off, the microphone was on. So the other night, Jon Stewart, who did a new episode of his show, The Problem with Jon Stewart, clips of that show were making the rounds on the 24-hour news channels, including CNN. So Don Lemon introduces the little audio clip of Jon Stewart, and you'll hear Jon Stewart talking, and right near the end of the clip, you will hear Don Lemon, who thought the microphone was off, but it was on, and listen to the lame attempt, just embarrassingly lame attempt he made to cover up the turd that he left uncovered in the cat box after he screwed up.
Accusing the Defense Department of corruption and waste, Stewart confronted the Pentagon's Deputy Secretary Kathleen Hicks. During an interview on Thursday, he asked her why the DOD keeps failing audits.
We don't have an accurate inventory that we can pull up of what we have where. That is not the same as saying we can't do that because waste, fraud, and abuse has occurred.
So in my world,
yeah,
that's waste.
How is that waste?
If I give you $1 billion and you can't tell me what happened to it, That to me is wasteful. That means you are not responsible. But if you can't tell me where it went, then what am I supposed to think? We got out of 20 years of war and the Pentagon got a $50 billion raise. Like, that's shocking to me. Now, I may not understand exactly the ins and outs and the incredible magic of an audit, but I'm a human being who lives on the earth and can't figure out how $850 billion to a department means that the rank and file still have to be on food stamps. Like, to me, that's corruption. I'm sorry.
He gets a lot of leeway with the comedian thing, though. So, Stuart questioned why some veterans are facing food insecurity despite the Defense Department's massive budget. Hicks acknowledged it has been a problem in the past, but said that the Biden administration has made it, quote, major priority. We're just discussing, like, John Stewart is so much more than a comedian. He's
the one
thought
who
leader.
Truly needs no introduction.
Yeah.
And has stood up for so long for veterans' rights and fought so loud and so hard and uses this big platform to keep doing so.
Well, I mean, none of it. I mean, the questions for the she's the number two at the Department of Defense. Those are important questions. And there weren't really a ton of sufficient answers, I think. And that's going to be the big question for them. Going forward, it's not just what he said there, it's how they're responding.
Yeah, we were saying, when I said comedian and television host, he's so much more than that. I don't even know if you need to qualify John Stewart as that, but good interview there.
Nice try, douchebag. God, I think Don, you might as well start the countdown clock. The story is that he already knows he's on thin ice. That didn't help. I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Here on Tuesday, April 11th, 2023, Don Lemon out at CNN. You just watch. Breaking news here this morning, Chicago. Chicago has been named as the location for the 2024 Democratic National Convention. Gosh, what could possibly go wrong? Let's see, the last time they held the convention for the Democrats in Chicago was 1968, and that was, what would they call that thing again? A riot! And I don't mean like, oh my God, it was a riot. No, I mean, it was a riot, like with tear gas and, you know, thousands of people arrested. That kind of riot. The Democrats. Oh, my God. They're just making me laugh these days. They're making me laugh. Tupperware looks like it could be over. I remember my mother had Tupperware parties back when I was a kid. Seemed to me a little bit of a pyramid scheme, a little bit Amway-ish. But you could see it coming because now, you know, you go to the grocery store and you can get those little disposable ones. You use them a couple of times and they're so cheap. The Tupperware stuff just, you know, is probably better and probably keeps the food fresher longer. It's more substantial, but people would rather go for the cheap stuff. Might want to stay out of Florida for a while, especially if you're going to the ocean side down around, let's see, Hollywood, Florida. What was the other one? The other Fort Lauderdale. There is a seaweed blob that has been moving towards the coast of Florida, and you could actually see it from outer space. And the thing has finally come ashore down in southern Florida on the ocean side, and it ain't pretty, and it stinks, and they don't know what to do about getting rid of all of it. 70% of Americans say they are feeling financially stressed. I think there's a lot of people watching their money run out but are putting on a brave face and sort of pretending that everything is fine. Because if 70% admit to being financially stressed, you know the number is higher. We are erasing the middle class of this country, and everybody knows it. And then we have, maybe you saw this on the news last night, the video of the Mexican building collapse. Apparently there was some rain on a side of a hill or something like that, it washed out the foundation, and they're like, all right, set up the cameras because it's only a matter of time. And sure enough, the building just topples. It doesn't like implode where it falls on itself. It actually started rolling down the hill. Now that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. But the more I thought about it, I'm thinking another building collapse in Mexico. Mexico, the people who invented the hard shell taco. And what happens when you bite into a hard shell taco? The whole thing just completely crumbles in your hand and ends up on your plate and in your lap and all over the table. maybe we shouldn't be surprised. The LA Times spoiled Sunday night's episode of Succession by writing an obituary for a character who died. As soon as HBO released the episode, fans were not happy. Eddie Van Halen's guitar from Hot for Teacher, from that video, which he also used live from 83 and 84, is expected to sell for between $2 and $3 million, opening bid $1.8 million. Late night tonight, Carol Burnett and Metallica. It's going to be an interesting green room. Jimmy Kimmel is where you see that. Jennifer Garner on with Colbert. James Corden has Kate Hudson. A lot of people on the younger end of the demographic scale, for the most part, going to those big outdoor music festivals like they have in the desert and stuff like that, and Burning Man, Lollapalooza, all that sort of stuff. Festival goers plan to use more drugs this summer. You know why? Because the food and the drinks have become too expensive. The drugs are cheaper. Not paying $15 for a beer, I can get a little hit of this for $5 or $10. Fuck it. All right, birthdays today. My idea of a good-looking woman, Jennifer Esposito. She's in Spin City, Crash, Blue Bloods. She's 50 today and looking fine as April Wine. Peter Riegert, Boone from Animal House. And if you see a good movie, it's called Crossing Delancey. Crossing Delancey, a little independent movie made back in the probably early 1980s. Peter Riegert, good guy, 76 today. Joel Grey, Jennifer's dad, who, frankly, I didn't know was still alive. He's 91. 76 years ago today, 1947, Jackie Robinson signed his first contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Apollo 13 blasted off on this date, 1970. That was the one that had the oxygen tank that exploded. And thanks to the valiant work of Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon, they returned to Earth just fine. Speaking of that Eddie Van Halen guitar, Eddie married Valerie on this date, 1981. It ended in 2001.
Now, we had you on the air, I don't know, it was probably like 10, 12 years ago or something like that. It was right about the time that one of the tabloid shows, I think it was Hard Copy, had put pictures on the air of Eddie clearly in the throes of an embrace in some woman's apartment. And I asked you about it.
No, it was actually at our house, I think.
Oh, is that your home? Oh, it's even better.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was asking you about it, going, well, what are they trying to do? How did they do this? And you completely, were you just in denial at that time?
You think?
Dumb question, Jay-Z.
No, total denial. And plus, I mean, I was still trying to make the marriage work, but it was clearly not working. So, but we had a young child, and I thought, well, I can't not let this work now. I mean, I should have left years ago, but, you know, now I have a baby. I can't leave. But that's the way my brain thought back then, but not any longer.
With all the stuff living in the public arena and the things that the tabloids and the tabloid TV shows and everything were writing about you guys and publishing about you guys, do you think that this marriage would have worked had you two been in some other profession?
No. No, I think we loved each other and still do love each other immensely. But we have too many other issues going on in our lives where it makes it too difficult for us to live in the same house together. You know, and I mean, I really do love him like a brother. He's a sweetheart, but I just can't live with him. And he would say the same thing about me.
I have always liked little Barbie Cooper from One Day at a Time. I love Valerie Bertinelli. Don Henley played the Fox Theater on this day back in 1990. Maybe you were there. It was on this day back in 1984 that I was sitting in Buffalo, New York, trying to get out, as most people are, and I had sent what's called a blind box response to one of the big broadcast trade magazines. And maybe you have this in your industry too. Somebody has a job opening for a big corporation, or maybe not so big corporation, but they don't want to let on who it is, what company it is, for reasons that can vary. And so they say, all right, here's what we do. We put this thing in one of the trade magazines, sort of like in the equivalent of the Help Wanted section. And we say, large Midwestern architectural firm looking for this, blah, 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 blah. If you're interested, respond here. And then you get basically like a postbox number. So that way, all of that architectural firm's competitors, they have no idea that it's them because it's all done on the down low, at least in terms of who the company actually is. And you don't know either. And that's what happened to me. So this ad appeared in this magazine that I used to get every Friday. And it said, you know, Midwestern rock station, looking for this, looking for that, want a big morning show, whatever. I'm like, well, that sounds like me. I'd like to go back to the Midwest. Don't really want to live here in Buffalo anymore. So I sent my presentation in, and it was on this date in 1984 that the phone rang, and it was the program director of one KSHE 95, and they said, you know, we like what you're doing there in Buffalo. It's pretty funny. Can you send us another tape? And I was like, sure, what happened? What would you do? Accidentally record over mine? Ah, ha, ha, ha. No. So, you know, they want more material. They want to hear more of what you do. So I did that. That led to an in-person interview, which led to them offering me the job, which led to the relationship I have with them today, which is non-existent. They like to pretend I never worked there. They think you're dumb. They think you don't remember. Are they in for a surprise? And McDonald's is releasing a strawberry shortcake McFlurry tomorrow. However, it's only going to be around for a limited time. Just like the McDonald's customers who are already lined up for it. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, April 11, 2023 is in the can. We are here every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Now, I don't have some sort of big-ass budget to let people know that we're doing this every day, so we're really relying on word of mouth and social media, and word of mouth is where you come in. So if you have friends or family members, coworkers, whatever, people who used to like the old radio show, chances are they'll like this, but only if they know about it. And so that's where we need your help. So please help spread the word. You may email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.